Dave Emmer here. This is Side 2 with For the Record program number 829, Fireside Chat about Eddie the Friendly Spook and the Ukraine crisis. This has been recorded on January 11th of the year 2015. We're going to plunge right back in where we left off. Now, again, as I pointed out, and I've talked about this at great length in previous programs, the Snowden op and the WikiLeaks op are part of the same operation. As I have spoken about many times, John Young, who was one of the founders of WikiLeaks, cut them loose in part, and he was quoted just through a search on the SpitfireList.com website search function to open quote, John Young, close quote. He broke with WikiLeaks because he said they're acting like a government, they're acting like a cult, they're acting like a bunch of spies, unquote. Well, they damn bloody well are just that. Julian Assange himself is an ultra-right winger. He espouses a quasi-eugenics political philosophy. And just like Edward Snowden, and we're going to talk about this, he is a big admirer of Ron and Rand Paul. Now, I noted that one of the things that prompted me to do this at this point in time was the flap about Republican House Majority Whip Steve Scalise's attendance at a David Duke organization rally. His organization, its acronym is EURO, E-U-R-O. It's the European American Unity and Rights Organization. And one of the points that I have made in the past and that I will repeat is that David Duke could be seen as something of a trace element for this entire milieu. For openers, again, WikiLeaks held forth on the Pirate Bay website. That a controlling interest in that is owned by Carl Lundstrom, L-U-N-D-S-T-R-O-M. He is a Swedish fascist who is also the main financial backer of the Sweden Democrats. And we're going to talk more about them next week when we reflect on the Muslim Brotherhood and the Charlie Hebdo attacks this past week in France. Very long story made very short. Parties like the Sweden Democrats and the Front National in France stand to make a lot of political hay out of these attacks. They have been espousing an anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim point of view, and those attacks will play right into that. Carl Lundstrom is the primary backer of the Sweden Democrats, or at least he bankrolled over 100 candidates for them a few years back. He's one of their top financiers and only controlling interest in the Pirate Bay website. And again, articles in the description for the show talk about this. I've talked about it in the past. Carl Lundstrom organized a Scandinavian speaking tour for David Duke. Now, the person who arranged for WikiLeaks to hold forth on the Pirate Bay milieu, as discussed in For the Record 745, and by the way, the Lundstrom-Duke connection is talked about in For the Record 725 and 732. There is a reference to him having booked a Scandinavian speaking tour for the Ku Klux Klan leader. That is David Duke, the guy who arranged for WikiLeaks to hold forth on Pirate Bay. There's a guy named Joran, J-O-R-A-N, Jermas, J-E-R-M-A-S, a.k.a., quote, Israel Shamir, unquote. He, along with his son, Johannes Wallström, are handling WikiLeaks operations for Russia and for Belarus. And both of them are birds of the same political feather. Joran Jermas is a Holocaust denier who has been quoted as saying, quote, it is the duty of all good Christians and Muslims to deny the Holocaust. He is one of Julian Assange's top aides, and he was the guy who arranged for WikiLeaks to hold forth on the Pirate Bay website. Joran Jermas is part of a Russian fascist milieu that networks with David Duke. Another very important connection concerns Ron Paul. Eddie Snowden and Julian Assange are both great admirers of Ron Paul and his little brat Rand Paul, named for Ayn Rand. Ron Paul is an outright white supremacist. He is heavily networked with David Duke and has been networking with David Duke for decades, going back to 1981, when they were both involved with the coup attempt on the tiny Caribbean island of Dominica. So again, David Duke is heavily networked with Ron Paul. Edward Snowden is an admirer of Ron Paul. So is Julian Assange. Edward Snowden contributed money to Ron Paul's 2012 campaign, and the top advisor for Ron Paul's top legal advisor for Ron Paul's 2012 campaign is a guy named Bruce Fein, last name F-E-I-N, and he was the first attorney for Edward Snowden and is the Snowden family attorney. He appears to have been introduced to the Snowden family by Rand Paul, Ron Paul's son. The Ron Paul milieu and the Ludwig von Mises Institute are inextricably linked. They are not coterminous, but you could not separate them. The Ludwig von Mises Institute is an advocate of the Austrian School of Economics, and they are very, very heavily networked with the League of the South. The League of the South is a neo-Confederate organization. They think that the South was justified in seceding from the North, and they advocate that the South secede again. To give you an idea of just how ripe the League of the South is, and again, the Ludwig von Mises Institute and Ron Paul and Rand Paul are very close to the League of the South. One of Rand Paul's top aides is a former chairman of the League of the South, a guy named Jack Hunter, H-U-N-T-E-R. By the way, talking about the similarities between the destabilization of Clinton and what is going on now, Rand Paul is now being championed by Ralph Nader, of all people. Well, one of Rand Paul's top aides is Jack Hunter, who was the blogger for Ron Paul's chief blogger for Ron Paul's 2012 campaign, and is a former chairman of the League of the South. I've heard some programs done by people from the League of the South. One in particular, I remember a guy was talking about justifying African-American slavery, and he said, well, if the slaves hadn't been happy, all of those black mammies who were nursing those little white babies could have just smothered them in there. And he used a slang term for the human mammary gland beginning with T that I cannot use on the air. I remember another League of the South broadcast done by people from the League of the South, in which they were talking very matter-of-factly about how, well, slavery was the only way for Africans to make the transition from tribal to industrial society. And that, basically, is what the Rand Paul and Ron Paul milieu is all about. Again, Julian Assange, a big admirer of both Ron Paul and Rand Paul. The WikiLeaks op and the Snowden op are part of the same operation. And Edward Snowden, a big admirer of Ron Paul, contributed money to his campaign. The chief legal advisor, the head counsel for Ron Paul's 2012 legal campaign, or presidential campaign, I should say, is the Snowden family attorney and was Edward Snowden's first lawyer. So you basically, and Ron Paul has been networking with David Duke for decades. So when you're looking at David Duke, you're talking about somebody who's hooked up with Ron Paul, with Joran Jermas of WikiLeaks, and with Carl Lundstrom of Pirate Bay and WikiLeaks as well, the chief financier of the neo-fascist Sweden Democrats Party. Another thing that I want to note is that, again, the 114th Congress, dominated by the Republican Party, I think was elected in considerable measure. The low voter turnout, which benefited them, resulted in part from the destabilization of the Obama administration. Again, 70%, and the article is in the description for this program, 70% of respondents to a poll age 34 and under, that is 70% of the people of that age and younger, who who were asked about Edward Snowden considered him a hero. And I think in part the Snowden operation was targeting the alienation of the young, idealistic voters who had helped to put Obama in office in 2008. Now, the Republican Party is in office, courtesy of that in part, with their political agenda now being realized. One of the things that has not received the attention due it, there are two articles in the description for the show about this. The first from the Talking Point Memo DC blog of January 6th of 2015. This is by Dylan Scott, S-C-O-T-T. New GOP Congress fires shot at Social Security on day one. Although it has not received a lot of attention, the Republicans on the very first day have gone after Social Security, and specifically, they are looking to reduce funding for the Social Security Disability Program. Another article about that, also by Dylan Scott, also from the Talking Points Memo DC blog of January 9th of 2015. Inside the GOP's long game to ignite a new battle over Social Security, the very first day that the 114th Congress, which I think was elected in part because of the Snowden op, they begin attacking Social Security's disability program. And that, I think, is something worth noting. And, again, that also is something that Edward Snowden is, basically that falls right along the political agenda of Edward Snowden. Snowden, by the way, in 2009, when he was posted to Geneva, Switzerland, as an officer of the Central Intelligence Agency, his employer at the time, basically went online, and he was posting under the moniker of the True Hoo-Ha, and he was networking with other people, and he said, save money, cut, and I'm going to have to attenuate a lot of this because I just can't say these things on the air. This is radio. Save money, cut the Social Security bull, S blank, blank, blank. And then another one says, ha ha, yes. And another one says, yeah, F blank, 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 old people. Another one, Social Security is bull, S blank, blank, blank. Another one, let's toss old people out in the street. And another one says, old people could move in with user 11. User 11 says, no, they smell funny. And then Snowden says this, somehow, our society managed to make it hundreds of years without Social Security just fine. Magically, the world changed after the New Deal, and old people became made of glass. Then Snowden said that the elderly, quote, wouldn't be effing helpless if you weren't sending them effing checks to sit on their A-blank-blank and lay in hospitals all day. Again, this is Snowden in 2009, at precisely the time we are to believe that he was inspired with the milk, just filled with the milk of human kindness and inspired to become a crusader for human welfare. And he wrote, again, he's a damn CIA officer at this time, posted to Geneva, Switzerland. The elderly, quote, and I have to attenuate this, but in the description you can read this in all of its profane glory. The elderly, quote, wouldn't be effing helpless if you weren't sending them effing checks to sit on their A-blank-blank and lay in hospitals all day. Well, that is precisely how the new Republican Congress is operating. They are basically targeting the Social Security Disability Program, and that is just exactly what Edward Snowden believes in. Again, this guy is no crusader for human freedom. He is a spy. Okay, and he is a nasty little P blank, 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 blank. Okay, he is a real piece of work. Another of my nicknames for him, in addition to Eddie the Friendly Spook, is the Peach Fuzz Fascist, because he is just exactly that. But he's smart. He's a spy. And spy rhymes with lie. Another discontinuity. Before we get to the Ukraine, okay, another discontinuity concerns Glenn Greenwald. We are told that Greenwald, again, is a big crusader for human freedom and freedom of internet expression and the privacy of individuals, etc., etc. And he also was very, very close to WikiLeaks. Well, when he was an attorney in a previous professional incarnation, and again in the early part of the last decade, Glenn Greenwald was a big supporter of George W. Bush. Beyond that, as an attorney, he spent years representing neo-Nazi murderers and white supremacists and doing so pro bono. He ran legal interference, for example, for the National Alliance. Their books, such as Hunter and the Turner Diaries, are intended as teaching tools. Now, he did so saying this is protected free speech. That just doesn't work, although he was successful in his pursuit of these cases. A quick point. If one said, for example, that black people were fearless monkeys who live on the ground, or that Jews were the spawn of Satan, or whatever, or that gay people were subhumans, or Greenwald's gay himself, that, as odious as it is, that would be protected free speech. That would be protected by the Constitution. But you cannot advocate harming people. And that is what the National Alliance's books do. They advocate harming people, and they have bloody well been successful. The Order, the neo-Nazi terror group who murdered Alan Berg in 1984, were inspired by the Turner Diaries, as were Timothy McVeigh and company in the Oklahoma City bombing. Turner Diaries were authored by William Luther Pierce in 1998 in a shortwave broadcast. He warned that basically people who lived in New York in buildings like the World Trade Center should wear hard hats because Osama bin Laden was coming, and that the U.S. would be hit by biological warfare attacks. He obviously knew what was going to be coming. He was directly foreshadowing the World Trade, the September 11th attacks. The climactic episode of his Turner Diaries, by the way, is a low-level suicide aerial attack on the Pentagon, which takes place on the German Day of Destiny, which is November 9th. Well, how would a German write the day November 9th? 9/11, of course. And again, Greenwald was running interference for the National Alliance's books, which are intended as teaching tools. Perhaps even more importantly, another of Glenn Greenwald's Nazi clients was a guy named Matthew Hale from the World Church of the Creator. Greenwald represented him a couple of different times, and in the second of the cases that he represented, again, pro bono, concerned the murder of the family of Judge Joan Lefkow, or Lefkow, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, L-E-F-K-O-W, it's called Lefkow. Matthew Hale, Greenwald's Nazi client, was angry at Judge Lefkow, and one of Hale's followers, a guy named Paul Craig Cobb, basically got a hold of Judge Lefkow's email address. He put Judge Lefkow's physical address on the internet, along with a map of how to get to Judge Lefkow's home. And he also posted pictures of Judge Lefkow's family on the internet. Okay, again, Matthew Hale was really angry with Judge Lefkow, and one of his followers put Judge Lefkow's address and a map to how to get to her home and pictures of her family on the internet. Judge Lefkow came home from work and found her mother and her husband murdered in her home. And Glenn Greenwald said, well, this was just part of a misunderstanding by the FBI. They just took some of the things that Matthew Hale said a little bit too liberally, too literally, I should say. And suffice it to say that Matthew Hale was convicted of solicitation of murder, or for murder, and he is now serving a long prison sentence. Again, discontinuity. We are supposed to believe that Glenn Greenwald, again, is just overflowing with the milk of human kindness. Sometimes this stuff really isn't that complicated. You do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Or as Jesus is reported to have said, do not do unto others that which is hateful unto you. Well, would you like to come home and find your family murdered in your home? Well, if the answer is no, then you should not be back in Glenn Greenwald, because he basically was running interference for Matthew Hale. And again, we're supposed to believe that Glenn Greenwald is a big humanist. That doesn't make sense, does it? That is, again, a huge discontinuity. And again, we're supposed to believe that Glenn Greenwald is a big crusader for internet freedom and privacy, blah, blah, blah. He didn't seem too goddamn concerned about Judge Lefkoe's internet freedom and privacy. He wasn't concerned about her privacy, and when his Nazi client posted her information on the internet, she came home and found her family murdered. Glenn Greenwald is basically, not legally, of course, but philosophically and politically, is an accessory to murder. Again, not legally, of course, but philosophically, politically, and frankly, spiritually and karmically, he is an accessory to murder. He is a nasty piece of work. And again, this makes no sense if we have to take Glenn Greenwald at face value. Now, again, at one point, Barack Obama, one of the main elements of his foreign policy was a reboot of relations with Russia. So the last nail in the coffin of that diplomatic effort was when Eddie the Friendly Spook went from one bastion of internet freedom, China, to another bastion of internet freedom, Russia. He did that right on the eve of Obama's proposed summit conference with Barack Obama, and that was canceled. One of the points that I have noted, and this is in the description for the record, 829, is that Glenn Greenwald's financial backer, Pierre Omidyar of eBay, helped to finance the Ukrainian coup. I think that the Snowden op was specifically targeting Obama's reboot with Russia, and there was a fascist coup in Ukraine, and the Maidan coup was financed in part by the Agency for International Development, which got some of its funding from Pierre Omidyar. There was a good article by Mark Ames in Pando Daily of February 28th of 2014. Pierre Omidyar co-funded Ukraine revolution groups with U.S. government, documents show. And I would also note that among the people who received funding from Pierre Omidyar was a woman named Svetlana Zalashuk. That's Svetlana Zalashuk. Again, another Mark Ames article from the Pando Daily from October 30th of 2014. Omidyar-funded candidate takes seat in new Ukraine parliament. So we find that Glenn Greenwald's financial angel, Pierre Omidyar, has been channeling money to the Maidan coupsters, so to speak, in Ukraine, and has been helping to fund the OUNB fascists who were put in power in Ukraine. Another important area concerning Ukraine, I mentioned Ron Paul, again, the political apple of Edward Snowden's eye. And again, you cannot separate the Ron Paul milieu from the Snowden milieu. Ron Paul's racist newsletters, in which he advocated basically for slavery, were edited by a guy named Lou or Llewellyn Rockwell. He also is very close to the Ludwig von Mises Institute. And in an article that was posted on their website, on Lou Rockwell's website, lourockwell.com from July 4th of 2011, there is a lavishly an obituary for Otto von Habsburg of the House of Habsburg. And Rockwell just idolized Otto von Habsburg. The Ludwig von Mises Institute is very, very pro-Habsburg. The Habsburgs, of course, were the main family in the Austro-Hungarian Empire. One of the points that I made, and for the record, 824, was the fact that Otto von Habsburg joined with Yaroslav Stetsko. He was the wartime head of the Ukrainian satellite state, Nazi Germany's Ukrainian satellite state, and endorsed and implemented the extermination programs that were advocated by the Nazis and helped to liquidate Jews, Russians, and Poles in Ukraine. And he was heavily networked with Otto von Habsburg, who was, again, something of the apple of Lou Rockwell's eye. And Lou Rockwell was the editor of Ron Paul's racist newsletters. One of the dynamics that is not being properly reported is that the Eastern Ukraine was not part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. We talked about this in For the Record 824. It has traditionally been much closer to Russia. The Western Ukraine, on the other hand, and Galicia in particular, was not only part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, but was something of a showcase for the political strategy of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And Otto von Habsburg is absolutely idolized by Lou Rockwell, the editor of Ron Paul's racist newsletters. And something that is also worth noting is what is going on right now in the Ukraine. And again, the OUND heirs are in power in Ukraine, as we have seen in so many of our programs. And one of the things that they are doing is, and there are a couple of articles about this, and again, the articles themselves are in the description for the program. And from the Associated Press Big Story website of November 25th of 2014, Cash Cut to Ukraine Rebel Areas in Risky Strategy by Peter Leonard and Balint, B-A-L-I-N-T, Zlanko, S-Z-L-A-N-K-O. And yet another story from the USA Today of December 25th of 2014 by Tatiana Goryachova, G-O-R-Y-A-C-H-O-V-A, and Hal Foster. Retirees starve in rebel-held eastern Ukraine. And it reads in part, retirees in Donetsk, the largest city in eastern Ukraine held by pro-Russian separatists, are dying of hunger because their pensions have been cut off by the national government, rebel officials and residents say. Skipping down. The government cut off pensions this month to people in all areas of eastern Ukraine, controlled by separatists, to undercut support for pro-Russian rebels. This is basically what the Republicans are trying to do in Congress. They are not concerned with budgetary restraint. Ronald Reagan, who's something of a minor deity to the Republicans, tripled the national debt in 8 years. Another way of thinking of that, in 8 years, Ronald Reagan incurred more national debt than all of the previous presidents in American history, from George Washington through Jimmy Carter combined. And the strategy now being put in place by the people in Ukraine is the same strategy that the Republicans are putting in power here, and just exactly what Edward Snowden advocated. The elderly wouldn't be so effing helpless if the government would stop sending them those effing checks so they could lay around in their hospital beds all day. So again, I think the Ukraine coup and the Snowden op are part of the same mega operation. And again, I realize this is a tall order. It may seem a little bit incoherent. There are articles in the description for the show that will flesh out your understanding. And please access the descriptions and audio files for the previous programs. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 829, Fireside Chat about the adventures about Eddie the Friendly Spook and the Ukraine crisis, being recorded on January 11th of 2015. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.